Yeah. Welcome to the Compass Podcast, featuring Chris Shandro and the Compass team. We hope this message is just for you.
This morning, we are going to hear from the District Youth Director of the Assemblies of God here in Illinois, which is who we're denominationally affiliated with. And so I would love it if you would welcome with me the District Youth Director of Illinois, Eric Hoffman.
How's everyone doing? Man, it is a pleasure to be here with you. I am refreshed. I just got off vacation. I've been gone for 2 weeks. I drove 4,000 miles from here to Kentucky, from Kentucky to Niagara Falls, from there to Vermont, from Vermont to New York City, from New York City to the Pittsburgh area, and now back home. So 4,000 miles, but I'm ready to go. Thank you, Pastor Chris, for having us here this morning. I feel like I'm at home because Compass, I consider Compass Band to be like our band for the state for all of our events. It seems like we have you guys for everything. We love your team. If you don't attend church here, then I really don't know what's wrong with you, because I feel like you have the best band in the state, the best worship team. I do. So, I'm looking forward coming up. I'm going to be spending some quality time with Lewis and Stacy. They're going with my wife and I to Vietnam in 3 weeks. And then Lewis and I are going to Africa in October. I'll talk a little more about that, but I'm already learning all the lyrics to Africa by Toto. So Lewis and I can sing that on the plane ride. We have 17 hours together on the plane, so it's going to be eventful. But hey, so I'm here this morning, and I'm hoping, I want to just start with this statement, just to kind of set the stage. You can either be intimidated this morning or inspired. So you can be intimidated or inspired, and I'm looking across the room, and I see a lot of young people in the room. So this is going to be a great message for you to hear. There's not many gray hairs in the room, so it's a younger crowd. So it's great, though, because I believe that God has called how many of you in here? Okay, I'm going to be 39 next month. How many of you are between the ages of 35 and 50? Raise your hand. Okay, so understanding that demographic, let me challenge you first. Okay, my wife and I believe that God has called us to change a culture. Okay, I'm looking at a generation of teenagers and children that are growing up that are completely selfish, and we did it. We did it. We created the mess that our country's in right now. My children, how many of you would say that my children really don't go without? There's a kid that I hardly ever see kids these days without cell phones. You know, we just came home from Pennsylvania. My grandparents live there. And it's so funny to watch my children look at their telephone, because it's still like an old beast. Okay, my kids are like, what is that? Because my kids have no comprehension of life without technology. And now here we are. We're looking at a culture that is completely selfish, and we're wondering how we got in the mess that we're in the first place. We watched some key things this past summer happen in the state of Illinois. We're pushing a culture out of our office, Illinois Student Ministries. We're pushing this culture of generosity. God's called us to be generous in everything that we do. Okay, that he can do more with it if it's in his hands than if we hold on to it ourselves. Let me just give you a couple highlights from this summer. It's going to floor you. I've been doing this for 2 years now. Illinois Student Ministries Director for the Assemblies of God. Okay, we oversee all camps, all conventions, all fine arts programs, JBQ, Junior Bible Quiz, Teen Bible Quiz. None of that means much to many of you, but ultimately we have a lot on our plate, and we haven't seen God move in a way that he's moving like he is right now in our state. At camp this summer for BGMC, Boys and Girls Missionary Challenge. Now let me just give you the quick rundown of missions giving throughout our fellowship. Okay, so when you guys give missionally, you're given to either world missions as adults, you're given to Speed the Light as students, teenagers, or you're given to BGMC, Boys and Girls Missionary Challenge, as children. I know you've heard those two that terminology before, Speed the Light, BGMC. Speed the Light and BGMC, God did phenomenal things this past summer. Back in 2014 at kids camp, this kids gave $4,000 that summer to BGMC. Okay. Amazing. BGMC, $4,000. This past summer, they gave $31,000. Okay. Speed the Light in 2014, the students came together. They gave $8,000 in 2014 to Speed the Light. This past summer, they gave $83,000. Okay. We are trying to create a culture of generosity because we understand that if we can get students to have the heart of compassion and generosity for other people, that God can do more through them than what they've ever seen. And here's why this is important. This is my challenge right now. If people said, Eric, what is your life verse? What drives you as you travel across the state of Illinois, as you speak to students and children? What drives you personally? 1 John chapter 5, verses 13 through 15 in the Message version says this: my purpose in writing is simply this, that you who believe in God's Son will know beyond the shadow of a doubt that you have eternal life, the reality and not the illusion, and how bold and free we then become in his presence, freely asking according to his will, sure that he's listening. And if we're confident that he's listening, we know that we've asked, that what we've asked for is as good as ours. So if you're confident in knowing that God wants to give it to you, then why wouldn't you ask for it? Okay, Speedlight BGMC provides for missionaries as they go out into the world to share the gospel. The Bible speaks about your treasure. Your heart is where your treasure is. They coincide with one another. What is your treasure? When we hear that word treasure in God's word, immediately we go financially in our mind. We think of finances. We think of storing up treasures in heaven. God's got these mansions and these rubies and diamonds and gold for all of us. If we live life worthy here on the earth, God will give us treasure while we're in heaven. And God says, where your treasure is, there your heart is also. But God's treasure, his greatest treasure is, was, and always will be people. God can care less with how much money we have. This is what my wife and I, we understand this completely. God really doesn't care about how much money we have in our bank account. That's why I started this by saying you can either be intimidated or inspired. Already, some of you are getting uncomfortable with this conversation. I get it. I understand it. But I'm here to tell you this morning that God desires for you and I to do as much as we can while we're on this earth to see to it that the people of the earth know who he is. How many of you believe that God has called Compass to change the entire world? I mean, there's a weightiness that comes to that. God has called this church, Compass, to change the entire world. God's heart is people. So how do you and I change the world by impacting people? Well, first we have to understand it. We have to make it clear as day, an understanding of what type of people live in the world. The World Bank has a way of measuring people in the world of status. Okay, the World Bank measures people by how much money they make per day. So for instance, the World Bank says that the poor of the world are those who live in it who make less than $2 a day. So I have here my Starbucks tumbler. Okay, you can imagine how much this costs me, right? The World Bank says those in the world are poor and without hope, Pastor Chris, who make less than $2 a day. So in this tumbler, I have a pink gumball. You see that even way up in the balcony, back row. Man, that's the best seats in the movie theater. Okay, this pink gumball this morning represents 1 million people. So every time you see a gumball, I want you to think about 1 million people. So the World Bank says that right now in Africa, that there are 650 million people who live on less than $2 a day. Okay, you with me so far? In Africa, 650 million people. In India, the World Bank says that there's 890 million people who live on less than $2 a day. China, 480 million. Then you add in the rest of Asia, and you have another 810 million people who live on less than $2 a day. And then you have Latin America, represents 105 million people. Okay, a representation of 3 billion people right now in our world who live on less than $2 a day. Now, how many of us in this room right now can say that we live on less than $2 a day? Right now, I guarantee you, even the children in this room can reach in their pocket and some of them would pull out more than $2 a day. This is so important to me because my wife and I, through BGMC, we got to travel to Nairobi, Kenya last year. And it forever wrecked me. I am a hick through and through.
from Pennsylvania. If you would have told me, like, I just came from home, and I look at my family, and they're like, you're going to Vietnam? Like, I was the most unlikely to ever travel the world, and now I'm getting to do it to see God impacting the people of other countries through programs like Speed of Light and BGMC. Speed of Light provides vehicles for missionaries. Speed of Light provides technology for missionaries. Speed of Light provides compassion ministries for missionaries. For example, right now, Convoy of Hope, you may have seen them on the news in Baton Rouge. You may have seen Convoy in Chicago. Speed of Light pays for the trucks that Convoy drives. Okay, so Speed of Light provides the vehicle. BGMC provides the needs for the mission. So let me just explain that to you. For example, in Africa right now, BGMC buys mosquito nets that go over beds that keeps kids from getting malaria. BGMC in Africa provides stainless steel cups so kids can drink one meal a day. BGMC provides water wells that allows them to drink clean water. Here in the States, we have no comprehension whatsoever what it means to lack clean water. It doesn't really matter how poor people are in the United States. They can always walk into a public restaurant or establishment and get clean water, right? And yet, how many times do we throw away bottles of water that are half empty? We take for granted the things that we have. And yet, right here, we have this representation of 3 billion people in the world that are living on less than $2 a day. This tumbler cost me $20. Okay, I take it with me to help me remember how blessed I really am. In those moments to where I say, Lord, I don't have it to give it. He says, but you're holding a $20 tumbler. You walk outside, you give to the Compass brand and give $10 for a t-shirt, right? And you should. You should feed into this church. Man, I'm believing this church blows up and that you're not meeting in a movie theater, but you have a building next year. Why can't it happen? Let me tell you how it happens. You get a group of young people and young adults that understands that God can do more with it in his hands than what you can do with it in your hands, then God will blow things up. Well, wait a second. I need that. 3 billion people. We cheer and say we believe God can use Compass to change the world. But we want to change the world by right here in our comfy, cozy movie theater. If people come to the United States, we'll impact them. We'll invite them to Compass Church, okay? But the reality of it is this, that no matter how many people come to the States, on average, 1 million people come to the United States every single year looking for a better life, looking for hope, looking for a job, looking for an opportunity. They're coming in, but on average, those people tend to represent those who would travel across the border from Mexico into the United States. And the World Bank tells us that those coming from Mexico only make, on average, weekly $26 a week. $26 a week. So how many people live in the world right now who make less than $26 a week? The World Bank tells us that that's another 2.6 billion people in our world right now who make less than $26 a week. 5.6 billion people in our world living poor and without hope. But it's an election year, right? We're all watching it. We're on the edge of our seats. We can't wait to see who gets voted in. This is the most comical election I've ever seen. All right, there's more people watching than I've ever seen before. And the new president, whether it's Clinton or Trump, they're going to fix everything. They're going to change the world. They're going to be more generous than what any president has ever been before. And maybe, just maybe it won't be 1 million people that we can open up our borders to and allow in and give opportunity and hope and education to. Maybe in 2017, because they followed through on all their promises, they not only allow one, but they allow 2 million people to come in. But we'll never really be able to make an impact because the World Bank tells us that birth to death ratio in these communities representing 5.6 billion people will add another 800 million people that year. Well, 2018 is a blessed year for the United States. The economy's booming, jobs are erupting, and that year we allow 3 million people to come in, right? We're really wanting to change the world, but birth to death ratio adds another 800 million people. Well, 2019, Well, it still doesn't matter. We can allow 10 million people, but birth to death's going to add more. And we will never, ever, 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 ever be able to make a difference. However, there's men and women right now, and this is why I'm so passionate. I know you can hear it in me. Men and women who call themselves missionaries, who give up everything to go. We have no understanding of what that means in our country. What it means to sell off everything, to leave your family, and to give up and go to share who Jesus is. They understand completely that God's greatest treasure is, was, and always will be people. They understand that God can do more with it in his hands than what they can ever do with it in their own hands. They get it. That's why we give to Speedlight, BGMC, and World Missions, so missionaries can go. Jesus understood this completely. He was always inconvenienced so others could hear about God's greatness. This morning, I want to ask, is Riley here? Sweetie, you in here? Oh, there she is. Riley's going to help me. Would you give her a hand? You can just stand right there. Just stay right there. You like candy? Riley, you like candy? Okay, so here's what I want you to do. I want you to grab the biggest handful that you can get. Just one hand. There you go. Man, that's a big handful. Okay, you holding it? Okay, let me see. Now, whose handful would you rather have, mine or yours? Yours. Why?
Because it's bigger.
Because it's more, right? I can give you more than what you can give on your own. Right? Okay, so here's what we're going to do. We're going to set the candy here. Go ahead, put it right there. And that's all for you. You're going to come back up here after, and you can take all that. If your parents are here, I'm so sorry. But all that candy's for you. Okay? But my wife and I understand completely, Riley, that God desires to do more when you place things in his hands. What's in your hand? Do you know what this is? This is a buddy barrel. Okay? So our fellowship gives these out to kids so they can collect their change, so missionaries can use it to change children's lives all over the world. What's in that buddy barrel? Did you bring that money in? How much is in there?
$4.
That's her offering this morning. $4. Okay, so here's what I want. Right now, we're asking kids to raise $100 for BGMC or Speedlight all across the state of Illinois. And that $4 will help you get to that goal. And if you hit $100, Riley, you get a t-shirt that says you're part of the Why Not Me movement. But what I want to do is I want to make you an offer. Okay? I want you to trade me what's in that buddy barrel for what's in my pocket. Would you do it?
Yes.
Why? Do you know what's in my pocket?
No, but I trust you.
You trust me? This could be a first. You trust me. What makes me trustworthy? I mean, just because I'm giving you candy, is that it? Okay, so we're going to make a trade. I'm going to show you, okay, because you trust me, that sometimes when we take a step of faith, that we can be extremely blessed for our faith. You ready? Okay, so we're going to trade straight up. I told you I'd give you what's in my pocket, right? Okay, hold it. Wait, I'm not done yet. Think there's more in there? Yeah? You getting excited? Okay, so this is your BGMC offering, right? We're going to trade. So here's what we're going to do. You're going to take this, and you're going to give it to my wife after service for your BGMC offering, and she's going to give you a t-shirt. Because of your faithfulness, God's going to bless you throughout your life. Thank you so much. Would you give Riley a big hand? You can go ahead. Thank you. And you come back up for that later, okay? It depends on whose hands it's in, right? It's kind of like a football. A football in my hands is worth about $30, but you place that same football in the hands of Peyton Manning and it's worth about $33 million because it depends on whose hands it's in. Okay, you take some spit and mud. You place that in my hands, I can make a huge mess. But you place that same spit and mud in the hands of Jesus and blind eyes can see because it depends on whose hands it's in. A slingshot, place it in my hand, it's completely dangerous. Okay? But you place that same slingshot in the hands of David and a giant is taken out because it depends on whose hands it's in. Okay, a stick, and my hand's just a stick. But you place that stick in the hands of Moses, and the Red Sea is parted because it depends on whose hands it's in. Nails in my hands, I can maybe build a box. But nails in the hands of a Savior provided redemption for all mankind because it depends on whose hands it's in. Jesus understood completely that he can do more for you and I if we just give it over to him. And he was always inconvenienced, and he always used small crowds to impact the world. And in the next 10 minutes, I want to prove that to you. In the Bible, in Mark chapter 4, we see a scenario that Jesus has just got done ministering to the masses. And after he was done sharing story after story after story, he looks at his disciples, and I don't want to read it for you because we don't have time, but he looks at his disciples, and he says, "Let's go, we have to leave." And he takes his disciples, they load up in a boat, and they go across the sea, and Jesus falls asleep in the stern of the boat. A storm comes, it hits, the disciples start to freak out. Okay, they start screaming, "Jesus, don't you care if we die? Wake up!" Jesus wakes up, comes up, sticks his hands out, calms the storm, and the disciples look in amazement, and they say, "Who is this man that he can even calm the storm? Who is this man?" As they're coming up on the shoreline in Mark chapter 5, the Bible says that there's been a man on that shoreline that lived in the caves and the tombs, who cut himself day and night, that chains couldn't even contain him, that he was possessed by demons. And as they're coming up on the shore, this man, this demon-possessed man, comes running to the shoreline, screaming out, "Jesus, Son of the Most High God, what do you want with me?" Okay. Now, what always amazes me about this is that the disciples, just a chapter earlier, as Jesus calms the storm, questions who Jesus was. And yet you have a demon-possessed man immediately identifies Jesus as the Son of God. Do you know that those people living in darkness can easily identify Jesus, sometimes more easily than you and I can? Right? Even though we say we live in the light, sometimes we live in it in complete darkness. This man comes running to Jesus and says, "Jesus, Son of the Most High God, what do you want with me?" The Bible tells us Jesus casts the demons out. The demons cry out to Jesus, "Don't send us back where we came from. Send us into the pigs." You can read it in Mark chapter 5. Jesus casts the demons out into the pigs. The pigs run off into the sea, commit swine suicide. Okay? Jesus gets back in the boat and begins to leave. And the demon-possessed man, now completely freed by his bondage, looks at Jesus and says, "No, I want to go with you." Jesus says, "You can't." He says, "Because what I need you to do is I need you to go to the Decapolis, the 10 cities, and I need you to tell everyone what I did for you." And Jesus leaves. Now, just a chapter later, Jesus finds himself right back in that same location to where just days previous he met the demon-possessed man. Okay, and he comes upon a large crowd of people. The Bible tells us that there were roughly 5,000 men. Okay, theologians believe that it wasn't just 5,000 men, but it was their families there with them as well. So possibly 15,000 to 20,000 people on this shoreline that just days earlier, Jesus cast demons out of a demoniac and turned him into an evangelist. Remember, go and tell the 10 cities what I did for you. God chooses to use small groups of people to impact the world. He comes up on the scene. All these people are around. He begins to minister to them. The disciples, once again, men who are full of faith, they're knuckleheads. When I read the Bible, I read of the disciples. And in the beginning, Pastor Chris, they were nothing but a bunch of knuckleheads. Okay? If you're married to a knucklehead, say amen. All right? Do you know God chooses to use knuckleheads and messed up people and people who don't have it all together? He wants and desires to use them. He takes us through these seasons to where he's teaching us lessons. And in this scenario of 15,000 to 20,000 people, the disciples come up to Jesus and they say, "Jesus, they're hungry. What should we do?" And Jesus says, "Hey, give them something to eat." Now, how many of you believe that if Jesus really loves us, he wouldn't ask us to do something that we couldn't do? Right? Show me your hand. If you believe that, God wouldn't ask us to do something that we couldn't do. Sometimes that means we need his help, but he wouldn't ask us to do something that we couldn't do. He looks at his disciples and he says, "Give them something to eat." Disciple says, "Well, Jesus, we're not doing that. That would cost us nearly 6 months' wages. We've worked six long months for that money, and you want us to now give it away? Jesus wouldn't ask his disciples to do it if they couldn't do it. So what I read into, when I read that scripture, is that the disciples were packing some serious money on them at that moment. Think about it. Hey, give them something to eat. Take care of it. Well, Jesus, that would take 6 months. We're not doing that. We don't even know these people. Why would we do it? Why would we feed them? So along comes this little boy who has his lunch, 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. He walks up to Jesus and he says, hey, I have these 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. And Jesus, I know that it would feed everybody, because little kids believe that God can do exactly what he says he's going to. Right? Just like little Riley. Yeah, I'll give it. And Jesus takes that, 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. He gives it, offers it to the Lord as a blessing, and begins to hand it out. And hands out so much to, at the very end, not only were all the people fed, but there were enough to fill 12 baskets with leftovers. Now, how many disciples were there? 12 baskets with leftovers. Do you think that Jesus was trying to prove himself? Hey, not only could I do this, I could do it in such a way while each of my disciples, you get to go home with some too. Right? But we often don't think about the mom that was in the kitchen that morning that was teaching her little boy what it means to share if you see someone in need. Mom, now honey, if you see someone out there who needs it, don't be afraid to give it. Moms, don't ever downplay your role in the home. You get to impact a generation. You're so important and vital to the lives that are living underneath your roof. Teach them the word. Have them stand on the word. So right now, here we have Jesus, the 12 disciples, that's 13, the demoniac turned evangelist, number 14, the little boy, number 15, and now the mom in the kitchen, number 16. 16 people up to this point that were used to impact 15 to 20,000 people. God desires to use small numbers of people to impact the world, because what you have matters, but what you're willing to give changes things. God cannot multiply things in our lives until those things are in his hands. In order for anything to be multiplied, it must first be blessed and then broken. And God uses what man doesn't even acknowledge to fulfill his plan. Last year in Minnesota, the state as a whole raised $1 million, first time ever, for Speed the Light. There were testimony after testimony after testimony of God's goodness and faithfulness through students coming together and giving. One was this. There was a young lady, they're calling it the Minnesota Miracle. One lady who at the beginning of the year went to a Speed the Light youth rally and was praying and said, God, whatever it is that you want me to give, I'll give. God spoke to her and told her that she was to give $727 that year for Speed the Light. She went, she shared it with her youth pastor, and he goes, why $727? Why such an odd number? Why not 700 or 800? Why not 500? Why not 1,000? She said, I don't know. The Lord told me $727. So all year long she saved. She had a Speed the Light jar in her bedroom, and she kept putting money in day after day, month after month. Whatever extra she got, she saved. November comes around. She counts the money in her jar, and she's completely disappointed, because at that moment she only had $500. She's in her room. She's thinking to herself, she's never going to hit it. Her dad comes busting through the door. She's crying. And he says, what's wrong with you? She goes, Dad, I only have $500 for Speed Light. And he goes, well, that's not a big deal. Tomorrow we're going hunting. Because dads are really sensitive at times. All right? We're going to go out. We're going to hunt. It's our first day of archery. You've never gone out into the woods with your dad before. Tomorrow we're going to go out. We're going to shoot a deer. And she's like, yeah, Dad. But Dad, I really was believing that I was going to hit the $727, and now it just doesn't seem possible. And he says, well, let me tell you this. If by chance tomorrow you shoot a deer, remember her first time out, I'll give you $1 for every pound that deer weighs. So they wake up the next day. They go out to the woods. He puts his daughter up in the tree stand. He's out pushing all day long for deer. Nothing. Not one deer. The sun begins to set. She tells a story that she looks out across the woods, and she sees this beast coming toward her. Not walking away. She said the largest deer she's ever seen, walking straight at her. This deer came at her, not only came at her, but stopped right underneath her tree stand. Shaking like a leaf, she pulled back her bow. She let the arrow fly. She hit the deer, and it fell straight to the ground. Now, if you hunt, you know that that sounds completely absurd. Okay? There's no way. Even when you shoot the animal, it takes off running. You have to track it down. But that deer fell straight to the ground. She comes out of the tree stand. Dad comes running over. Okay, and he takes this picture right here. They load that thing up on the back of the ATV. They drive to their truck. They load up the ATV with the deer. They go to the deer processing business. They put that deer on the scale. Do you know how much it weighed? 227 pounds. Immediately, the young lady starts to weep. Ugly cry. Dad looks at her. What are you crying for? You just shot the largest deer I've ever seen. You know how many guys go out in the woods every single year, hour upon hour, waiting to shoot a deer that big, and you're sitting here crying because you shot a deer? Remember, men, we can be sensitive. Dad, that's not what I'm crying about. I'm crying because I heard from the Lord. I heard from the Lord. Do you know that God speaks today? But all we have to do is listen. All you and I have to do is open our ears. And more of a personal story to me, God did it in my own life through my 9-year-old this past year. I have a video to show you. So that's my youngest of 4. And you know, right now we have a saying as we travel when it comes to Speedlight BGMC. Speedlight BGMC are student-initiated but adult-facilitated. Students dream up the dreams. They're just looking for adults to come behind them and say, we believe you heard from the Lord, and we're going to back and support you. When my daughter came to me, that was 4 days before Easter, and said, Dad, I have an idea for BGMC. I want to smash eggs on your head. Okay, my initial response was, this will never work, but okay. And as people started supporting it and going for it, I couldn't believe it. And I saw the faith rise in my own child. But not only through my child, it started rising in me as well. Even though I travel and I do this all the time, and I can talk a good talk, sometimes you just don't believe that God's going to do what he says he's going to. So at the end, when my daughter made that final clip where she said, my goal is $3,000, okay, God convicted me so hard. Because at first, my daughter said, I told her, I said, Emma, I want you to tell people thank you. I want you to tell them what your next goal is and how you're going to do it. She goes, okay, Dad. She goes, I'm going to raise $5,000 this year for BGMC. I'm like, no, sweetie, that's too much. $5,000 is too much, Emma. You won't ever be able to do it. She goes, oh, okay. What about $4,000? I said, no, that's still a little too high, honey. I said, you know, you hit $2,100. $4,000 is still maybe a little too steep. She goes, well, $3,000, Dad? Can I do $3,000? I said, yeah, that's more like it, sweetie. And she goes, Dad, you need to have some faith. And as immediately as she said that, another notification came up that someone just gave another $100 toward her goal. My daughter, through that, and one other small thing, has raised $3,200 this year for BGMC by herself. Okay? Sometimes we just need to put what we have into God's hands. And I want to ask you this morning, would you partner with us? Would you give so missionaries can go? Speed the Light providing the vehicle and BGMC providing the needs for the mission. That's what your giving goes toward. It helps us purchase things like this right here. One of my favorite projects we're doing through BGMC. It's a survival pack for our Army, Navy, Marines, Air Force, our military reserve. These are given out for our men and women in our armed forces. It's devotionals. It's a Bible. Okay, and I talked to one of our servicemen. He goes, man, I live and die by that thing. BGMC buys these for our military men and women. Okay, how many of you would say that's important for them to have books of faith for them to go to? Okay, clean water wells for Africa. Lewis and I and Stacy will see right now in 3 weeks, they're going to come back here and they're going to tell you story after story after story of how God's using BGMC and Speedlight in Vietnam. Then Lewis will get to come back in October and tell you how God's using BGMC and Speedlight in South Africa. Okay, it's so important for us to share with you, and I want you to hear my heart this morning, that students are looking for adults to help them facilitate the need. And if you do this morning, if you give $100 to Speedlighter BGMC this morning, I have a great deal for you. You get a t-shirt. Pastor Chris is selling them for $10. I'm selling mine for $100. It's hilarious. Okay? But I saw students this summer buying these things like they were 10 cents. Because it's not about the shirt, it's about the reason behind the shirt, the Why Not Me movement. Why can't this be the year that you give? Why can't this be the year that you send? But ultimately, you're in this room and God's speaking to your heart. Why can't this be the year that you go? That you give up everything. And you share the greatest treasure with the world, that God loves people. And that he desires to impact them where they are, not where they need to go. Father, we thank you and we give you praise this morning. God, I thank you for this opportunity to be here at Compass Church. Lord, I'm believing that through generosity that you would move in a powerful way. God, that you would be with Chris and the team. God, as he leads with integrity and honor. God, I know he has great dreams for what it is that you desire to do through this church. God, that they would be expedited and happen in a way that would just completely floor the community. God, but right now we come to you, God, and I pray for every single person that they would just search their heart right now to see what it is that they can do for BGMC and Speedlight. Maybe it's not $100, maybe it's $10, maybe it's not $10, maybe it's $1,000. Lord, I have no idea what you're speaking to the folks in this room this morning, but God, this morning as they take this offering, God, that they would understand completely that you can do more with it in your hands than what they can ever do with it in their own. Lord, we thank you and we give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Pastor Chris.
Amen. Can we show Eric some appreciation this morning?
Thank you for joining us at Compass. We hope you enjoyed this podcast. If you have any questions about Compass or this message, contact us at our website, www.compassbn.com.